Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Cheryl Fellman, and welcome to What Women Must Know. This is a show empowering you with truthful information so you can make the most informed decisions possible regarding your health and well-being. And I am always so pleased to be sharing another hour with you with my inspiring guest. This is a show that really allows us to gain the knowledge so we truly become empowered. So we have the ability to navigate through challenges, whether they're health challenges or whether they're life challenges, whatever it may be. This show is really designed to support you. So I'm so thrilled that you're joining me for another episode and hope you'll be joining me every week. And by the way, if you'd like to get the archives, I just want to remind everyone you can like me at my Facebook page, which is What Women Must Know, because I post all of my archive shows there. And the other option is to opt into my website, Dr. Cheryl Fellman, because I send them out to you directly. They'll go to your inbox, and I have ongoing education as well that I send to you. So I hope you'll join my community and opt in to drcherylfellman.com. Okay, so we have another fascinating guest and a very important topic, and I called this episode Making the Most of Your Brain with my guest, Dr. Rosemary Keating, who has been passionate about working with the brain, optimizing the brain's potential, and a little bit about her. Dr. Rosemary Keating is a chiropractor with over 30 years clinical experience. She holds a master's degree in pediatric chiropractic, is a diplomat of the American Chiropractic Neurology Board, and is a certified NLP practitioner and NLP coach. She has taught chiropractors across Australia, New Zealand, and Europe to work with children. And she has recently developed an online education program, which she'll tell you about as we get into this conversation. But the brain is fascinating. Working with children to optimize their brain function is critical information, I believe. So I really am looking forward to having this conversation with Dr. Rosemary Keating. So, Rosemary, welcome to the show today.
Thank you, Cheryl. It's an absolute delight to be here, and thank you for the invitation in sharing some really great stuff. And I love it that your podcast is completely about empowering and giving people choice, because that's really what it's all about.
It is what it's all about. And, you know, freedom comes when we have choices, and especially when we have choices that come from an educated place, and you know, that's the realm where all possibilities exist. So that's why I've really been dedicating this time and this show over the years. You know, I've been doing this show for, actually, I lost count. It's maybe 15, 20 years, ever since this network began. I was invited to come on board, and it's been quite a ride, and I have to say it's such a pleasure and honor to be able to interview people like yourself. It's a great learning journey. So, you know, we're talking to you all the way from Australia, and Rosemary, you've just been in the forefront of your field for so many years. I have known of you. I keep hearing about your work. So this is the first time we're able to actually have a one-on-one conversation. I really look forward to this because you have been passionate about this pediatric chiropractic work, understanding the nervous system in children, and, of course, the general knowledge about the brain. So I guess the first question I'd like to ask you is, what piqued your interest that made you really focus and study this whole area of pediatric neurology and chiropractic neurology, understanding the nervous system, but particularly with children?
Oh, thanks for the question, Cheryl. It's a fantastic question because, you know, I began my journey in chiropractic under some very fabulous chiropractors that really changed my life when I was a teenager and inspired me to become a chiropractor. And what I loved about it was that it really honored the body as a self-healing, the self-healing principles of the body and of nature. And, you know, I was very drawn to that because it wasn't, you know, we put something in. Really what we do is we remove any blocks and interferences and allow the nervous system and to the person, therefore, to shine. And, you know, what really piqued my interest, like in going through chiropractic college, we really didn't learn anything about children. And the piquing of my interest really came out of, oh my goodness, I don't know what to do. And it was that. It was in practice in the very early days when I was only brand new, newly graduated, and the chiropractor I was working with and shadowing said to me, could you go next door and start with the person next door? And it was a 9-year-old child. And I went, oh, do I work the same as I do with an adult? And, you know, that really led me. It was a hole in my knowledge. And, you know, and I'm talking now some 30-odd years ago, that then led me to go, oops, I really need to do more work here. And that led to an incredible journey with my sister Genevieve in creating programs that that led me to getting my master's degree and creating programs with Jen that really help us as chiropractors to understand that children are not little adults. And we've been honoured to be able to develop these programs for chiropractors so that they can understand developing neurology, because, you know, our understanding of the brain, you know, thanks to so many of extraordinary people that have gone before us, but, you know, Marion Diamond's work around an enriched environment, which I'll speak to, but, you know, where a brain grows, and also so many people, you know, Norman Doidge and the whole aspect of neuroplasticity. And, you know, Joseph Ledoux, I think, said it, we don't come pre-assembled. We are glued together by life. And this whole aspect of our brains change and grow and develop. And children are developing neurology. And we must, as practitioners, or certainly in the chiropractic world, work with them very differently and how it is that we work with adults, because they're not little adults. And so that's really where, you know, my journey began, was the holes in my knowledge went, okay, let's just see how I can expand this out, because obviously, you know, chiropractic is a very, as many professions are and many of our healing arts are, is a very service-oriented and contributory profession. And how do we do the best? Well, I would maintain actually that anybody who is in service in any realm to their people and their practices want to do the best by that person. So therefore that augurs us well to continue to develop our own skills. So that's where it all began, really, for me.
And, you know, as you're talking, I realize that a lot of people probably don't really understand the value of chiropractic care. You know, I think often in people's minds there is this image of a chiropractor, you just go in and they crack your back and that's it, right? At least I think that's how some people are thinking. But in actual fact, it's a much more profound healing modality. And to let people know, I have been, I've been seeing a chiropractor for almost 50 years. In fact, I cannot imagine being healthy and vital throughout all the decades without regular chiropractic care. It has been one of the fundamental healing tools that I have used, not because I have a problem necessarily, although if I do have a problem, it's good to see my chiropractor, but it's to just keep me aligned and my nervous system balanced. So maybe we can just take a few minutes, Rosemary, and help people understand what chiropractic really is, because I know you have a really holistic understanding of this modality, this healing arts, and I think it's important that it's explained to people.
Yeah, sure, Cheryl. It's very much a marriage, really, between a philosophy, a science, and an art. And it is the philosophy that the body has the ability to heal itself. And I will say that I don't speak for all chiropractors, so let's just talk about my take on it. And it's the art of exquisite technique, and it's the science of understanding how neurology works and the impact and the power of an adjustment. And there's some exquisite work that's being done in understanding what happens with chiropractic adjustment. And I think, you know, the most important thing I really think about, it helps people to be more of themselves and for their brain to work a lot better, which then helps their own body to be much more regulated. And, you know, I think the fact that our brain is what we call an afferent organ. So basically an afferent, something that's afferent receives information, something that is efferent sends information out, in very simple terms. And so what that means is that our brain grows through input. And this is the key with children, in that, and Marion Diamond's work, in an enriched environment. So that a brain, you know, kids don't just get born and they've got a brain. You know, children are born and they have, they've got about 86 billion neurons, which is basically what we all have across our lifetime. But each of those neurons talk to each other, so they have communications, and each of those neurons has about 2,500 synapses, what are called synapses, so where those things connect. In that first 3 years of life, each of those connections that to those neurons grows to something like 15,000. And that's what accounts for growth weight in a baby's brain and for increase in size in a baby's brain. And so it's those connections that grows through information coming into the system. And we get information from our system through movement, so things that we do, through things that we, you know, our visual input, our vestibular and our balance and hearing input, plus joint sense. And so really the chiropractor's role really is to ensure that a child is functioning as well as they can by making sure that there's good alignment within their system, in particular through the whole cranial spinal system, which then helps for the brain to receive good information and for it then to be able to regulate muscle tone and organ organs. And, you know, I think it's really important, I think, to remember that, you know, our body works in an extraordinary way. And, you know, chiropractic doesn't fix or heal anything. People do that. What the chiropractors do is helps the body to be able to come into a sense of balance so that it can then take good care of itself. And I think that's a very important distinction. You know, it's not that we treat anything. What we do is we help the body to be balanced, the brain and the nervous system to be able to receive good information, therefore the brain and the nervous system can regulate the system. Does that make sense, Cheryl?
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. Yeah, the whole nature of healing is to restore homeostasis.
Yes, absolutely.
Right? So you know this better than me, but you know, when you have proper flow of energy through the nervous system, and the reason why chiropractors may kind of focus on the spine is because the nerves that go to all the organ systems originate there. So,
absolutely.
So, but it's not all. Absolutely. It's not the only focus, but it's not the only focus, right, for treatment.
And no, absolutely. Well, and for some chiros it is, and that's okay, you know. And I think in the realm of everything that is, there's always a spectrum. And, you know, I think the overarching thing is that it's not a this for that. It's not, you know, you've got this, therefore you need that. It's let's see where this system is out of balance and what is the skill set that I can offer that will help a system to be more regulated. And, you know, and what does that also, you know, involve in possibly exercises or home care or, you know, things that can help then the brain to regulate. And, you know, I think if I could just speak briefly to some research that was done here in Australia. And this was basically the largest research I believe that's actually been done, and it came out of an investigation here in Australia into, you know, why are chiros seeing children. And many families come to ensure that their kids are functioning smoothly. That there's not necessarily, there's not always a concern. It's like, I just want the very best for my kid, for my child, you know. And, you know, people eat well, they do preconception care, they do all of that. So, you know, for many people, part of their health and wellness in their lifestyle is great. Let me just check that everything through the cranial system, through the whole spinal system is functioning well. So that's why, you know, why some people come to Kairos and others come because there may be a particular concern. And I can't stress strongly enough that it is not a, you know, we're not symptom-based and we don't provide a treatment. It is very much about, you use the word restorative, and I love that word, Cheryl, you know, allowing the body to restore its balance and come back into homeostasis, which assists many things. And so in this study, 22,000 people participated in this study, and 99% of the parents reported that they were well informed and involved in decisions about care, which is crucial, and that 99.6% of parents were of the opinion that their child benefited from chiropractic care. And, you know, this actually ended up being the Jen's PhD thesis was based on this, out of this research. And, you know, I think that's an important thing. It's, you know, we know that healing and regeneration doesn't happen in solitary situations. It's the communication, it's the connection, it's all of that. And, you know, that study brought that out beautifully, is that, you know, parents felt like they were involved in the decisions, and they felt that their child, 99.6% felt that their child benefited from seeing a chiropractor. So, you know, it's about coming back to balance.
Yeah. And I'd like us to talk about your specialty, which is pediatric chiropractic, because I don't know how many people truly appreciate the role of chiropractic for optimizing the brain function of little beings. I mean, we're talking, you can work with children who are just born, right? I mean, obviously you're working in Italy, but you can also work with newborns and then all the way up. But, you know, I would love for you to talk about the importance of pediatric chiropractic care. I have seen in my lifetime, a lot of my friends had little kids, chiropractic friends, and they were adjusting their children since they were born. And these kids are always so well adjusted as adults. And even as, you know, moving through the various stages of life, they would only cry if they were really out of balance and needed adjustment. I mean, it just seemed to have been such an asset in the development of these kids. So I'd like you to talk about that in your experience of using this knowledge in your practice with children.
Yeah, absolutely, Cheryl. And the thing that I will say is that every chiropractor is able to see children. We don't have it as a specialist field. You can do further study, as I've done and as many other people have done, you know, further coursework or further actual degrees to refine those skills. But every chiropractor, if they have a desire to, is able to see children. I think it's very important that for people seeing children, that they are viewing through the lens of, you know, where we started, that children aren't little adults. They are developing neurology right before our very eyes. And, you know, we look at baby animals, and they're born and they get up and they suckle and they run and they're off and going. And we know that human babies don't do that because our brain really is continuing to grow, particularly in those first 3 years of life. And, you know, you think about what a child does in that first year of life. They go from, you know, lying still and just moving their arms and their legs, and then they start to, you know, lift their head and be able to roll, and then eventually be able to sit and to crawl and to walk. And all of those are signs of a developing brain, you know, and our brain develops basically from lower up, if you like, you know, from the brain stem and the cerebellum, and then through up into the higher centers of the cortex and the prefrontal cortex. And, you know, all different parts, all our brain has different roles, different parts of the brain, different lobes have different responsibilities. And, you know, those early, I think it's really about, you know, people will be very familiar. Anybody who's ever had a child recognizes, and we certainly know that the American Pediatric Association and all of our organizations here in Australia are very much about tummy time, you know, tummy to play and back to sleep, and the importance of children being on their tummy and learning to lift their heads up and, you know, starting to move in gravity. So it's those, watching those developmental, like if we think about the life of a child, and as I said, for anybody who's been a parent or who's had children in their life, you know, you look and you watch and you see the coordination and the development, and that's all developing neurology right before our eyes. So I guess for chiros who have a special interest in children, what they're very interested in is in the ballpark of a range, where is this child sitting? You know, are they up to speed? Are they, you know, they could be supported a little bit more in coming up to speed, and therefore things that we can do, both within practice, but also very importantly in, you know, play. I think one of the things with our biggest things with our kids is, you know, now we're, even our young kids are much more sedentary. They're not out running, you know, up climbing trees and on trampolines and on their bikes. They're possibly more on a screen. And so just the impact in that, not that I particularly want to speak to that, but, you know, we look at what happens across our lifetime and the impact then that that can have on developing neurology. The thing that I will say, Cheryl, is that working with children is incredibly gentle, and I think that's a really important point to make. The work is very gentle, you know, and sometimes chiropractic can have the viewpoint that it's, you know, a very strong manual adjustment, and that's not how we adjust children. And, you know, anybody who's interested, they can find somebody in their area that works with children and has a love for working with children, and you will find that they will you know, have the skill set that's needed.
Yeah, that's great, because I think the more we can support children in their development, the more they optimize the potential they have. So, you know, we may look at birth and the impact of birth. If you've had a difficult birth and the compacting that goes on the head, on the shoulders and the neck, that can be the beginning, right, of imbalances that, you know, imbalances in neurology, which can have long-lasting impacts. So you wanted to share your thoughts on that?
Yeah, absolutely. So our cranial system is designed to move, and weird and all as that is, but our skull moves ever so slightly with respiration. And, you know, and that is part of helping the cerebrospinal fluid, which is produced in our brain, to pump around our brain and our spinal cord. And, you know, that brings nutrition in. It helps to, you know, remove any waste from the brain. And actually, there was some beautiful work that was done a few years ago on, you know, why sleep's so important. And Jess Iliff's work and co around why sleep's so important, and that cerebrospinal fluid washes through the brain at night. But you know, you make a very important point, Cheryl, for, you know, if there's been some restriction in utero, or in particular in the birth process, if it's been a challenging birth, or even a birth that's gone particularly well, sometimes there can be some dysfunction in movement of the cranial system, or perhaps in through the neck or the shoulders or wherever that is. And you can appreciate, you know, going back to my point of the brain grows through getting information in, you can appreciate that if a child is restricted in turning to one side because perhaps they've had a tricky birth and they've got tightened muscle tension on one side or restriction on one side, and they only ever look to one side, then you can appreciate that they're not getting their full input from the other side of being able to look all around their world. So that is going to impact you know, just that development of the brain. Correctable, but it's about looking at this and starting to see that there are many ways that we can impact a growing brain and, you know, starting to notice where there's, you know, symmetry. We know that symmetry is beautiful, and we know that, you know, all the Greeks and you know, when they built buildings, it was all about symmetry and beauty, you know, because that's really the underlying order. So really what we're looking for is symmetry. Not that everything should be the same, I don't mean that. But when a child turns, we're wanting them to be able to turn equally and appropriately in distance-wise to each side. We're wanting them to be able to move their arms and their legs through their full range, because it's movement often that movement along with other things that helps that brain to build itself. And so, you know, the movement of the cranial system also then helps with the brain. And it's a beautiful, organized symphonic whole about that balance and that tone through the whole system. And when it's working in harmony, then everything can function as it is meant to. And restriction in movement then impacts how information coming into the brain is received, but also if we've got restrictions somewhere in the cranial system, and you know, I speak to cranial system moving. It's well documented. There, you know, not every chiropractor necessarily understands or is interested in that aspect. However, you know, I speak from many, many years of clinical experience and understanding and study that movement, you know, movement is life. You know, we often say that the cranial system is to the brain what the lung, what the ribs are to the lungs. If we have restriction in our rib cage, in the movement of our rib cage, we can't get full breath in. And, you know, breath is life as well. So it's about having a good range of movement and range within all of our joints. And, you know, I think that children don't have a full potential. I think they're a developing potential. You know, we don't come in, I think, with a potential that's actually set. And often I know we used to always speak to children developing their full potential. I think the thing is that the potential is an ever-changing target depending on how well we can support a system in growing and developing. And as you can hear, it's something that's really important, I think, to me and to many chiropractors. And, you know, the thing that I'll say, everything that I've said about children relates to us as adults as well. You know, when we're not as well balanced, then we know that we're not as well balanced, and we know that we don't think as clearly, or we sleep as well, or, you know, we don't feel as sparky within ourselves. And it's very much about the more balanced, and you mentioned this, Cheryl, you know, the more balanced that we are in our system, the more it is that we can be connected in with our own self and go about our world in the way that we are wanting and, you know, being fully present in that.
And I think the other thing I'd like to add, and to help people appreciate chiropractic care, and we have to say there are many techniques, so it's finding the person that has the approach that suits your needs and, you know, your proclivities, and so you have to do some research and get educated. But, you know, it's not only when you have some fall or something's happened that put your back out or you hurt your knee, but to me, what I've learned about chiropractic, it's the stress of life. Stress in itself can have an impact on how you are flowing, how your energy is flowing, and how things are impinged, so to speak. So maybe you can elaborate on that for people, Rosemary. So it really, we can draw a really profound picture of why chiropractic is so profound to optimize our flow of energies in our body.
Yes, absolutely, Cheryl. Look, you know, when we talk about stress, Robert Sapolsky did extraordinary work with respect to this. And, you know, basically talking about how we run our systems on a sympathetic dominant. So within our system, we have our sympathetic nervous system, well, we have, you know, our central nervous system. We have our sympathetic nervous system, which is very much, you know, we're often familiar with fight or flight and, you know, that high alert. And our parasympathetic nervous system, which essentially is rest and digest. And Sapolsky's work around, you know, stress is that we are, as a culture, and I realize, you know, you have a global audience, Cheryl, I would ascertain that it's probably similar in most cultures, or many cultures, many Western cultures, let's say that way, that we run on stress, as we run on cortisol. We run on the busyness and the overwork and the, even when we're trying to be calm and relaxed, we can be still wound up within inside ourselves. And we know that an adjustment, well, actually, before I speak to an adjustment, with that stress then, that cortisol that runs is very toxic to our brain cells. And it's particularly toxic to the hippocampus, which is part of our brain where we can create and consolidate memories. And we can also create, we can actually create new neurons in the hippocampus after the age of 40, which for those of us over the age of 40 is always very exciting. But the point about it is that stress is particularly toxic to that. Cortisol is a neurotoxin. And so the more stressed we are, and people, like, we know this in our own lives. If we are stressed, you can't think clearly. It's almost like you can't get focused because it's like, oh, my God, there's just too much going on. Oh, my goodness, there's too much going on. You know, all that busyness in our head. And so it has that adverse effect on our brain function. It also increases a part of our brain called the amygdala. And the amygdala is very much... Bessel van der Kolk spoke beautifully about this in his book, The Body Keeps the Score, you know, where he talks about stress and trauma responses. But that the amygdala is like the smoke alarm. It's like it's always on alert for, oh, am I in danger? Am I in danger? And, you know, those firings of those pathways are not only toxic to you know, developing new neurons or to our memory or to our ability to calm and settle, they're also, it creates a very stress-filled life. Now, being adjusted or indeed any body work, but specifically I'm speaking to chiropractic because I'm a chiropractor, helps us to regulate that sympathetic parasympathetic. So the parasympathetic is the calm, the rest, the digest, the, take a deep breath, where we can become more centered within ourselves. We can become more calm within ourselves. We can digest our food better. We can fall into our heart space and open our heart much more. And it's that balance. You know, the first thing that I will say, it's very much about awareness. You know, we can't actually have control over our neurology if we don't actually have awareness of what's physiologically happening within our system. And, you know, I often say to people, Cheryl, that the first thing to do is to start to notice when you are busy, what is your heart rate actually doing? And where is your breathing? And I can absolutely guarantee that when we are busy and stressed, our breathing is shallow. That is a sympathetic response. And we can change our physiology in a heartbeat, literally, by taking a deep breath. And even if we are, you know, rushing to get somewhere, if we actually slow our breathing in getting there, we are much more able to get there in a more integrated state within ourselves rather than all over the place. And so an adjustment really is a parasympathetic experience, you know, in that it helps us to reconnect with ourselves and it helps to regulate that balance between the sympathetic and the parasympathetic nervous system because they're in balance. It's not an on-off switch. It's not a digital scale, on or off. It's an analog scale, you know, between sympathetic and parasympathetic. And how we do live that more, I hope I'm answering your question, Cheryl, that experience of being adjusted is about that reconnection and about that bringing back into balance within ourselves. And that doesn't happen overnight. You know, it's not a one-off kind of thing. But it is, you know, that priming of our own neurology through adjustments and then through all of the other things that we do in our life to help to regulate ourselves, you know, through diet and exercise and, you know, sunshine and all of the things that people do to support themselves, then that helps to regulate that system better.
Yeah, you did a great job, and it brings us back to why working with children is so important, because if you could support a child early in life on a regular basis, then that child has the potential to stay in that balanced place and supporting the brain. You know, the point you made about adrenaline, the stress hormone, is a neurotoxin. You know, I forgot all about that. And we know many things that adrenaline is doing, but the fact that it is killing brain cells is a, you know, it's like a neon sign that's blinking for me right now to appreciate how important it is to find tools to stay in balance.
Well, Cheryl, I will say that's absolutely true. And it's not every time we get stressed, oh, my God, I've just knocked out some brain cells. I think, you know, I'm hoping that that I didn't misrepresent that, because we need cortisol. It's a very, and adrenaline, it's a very, they're very important hormones. And I think your point, Cheryl, is the right one in terms of it's about the balance. It's about if anything is too one-sided, it has an adverse effect on our system. You know, and if we're too parasympathetic, if we're too relaxed, we never get anything done. That's lethargy, and that's absolute, you know. So it is, it's that beautiful dynamic balance between both of them. And, you know, so we do need cortisol. It's the overrunning. It's the running away with, I think, in our systems. And I'm sure, you know, you yourself, Cheryl, and all of our listeners can appreciate. They had experiences in their life where they just are getting so wound up. And it's that's toxic. So it's not, you know, every time we get a bit stressy, we go, oh, my goodness, I've just knocked out brain cells. However, it is a very good thing to think about with respect to helping us to quickly come back into deep breathing and regulation, and it changes immediately.
Well, the truth about stress, it may not be, you know, attacking brain cells every time we're under stress, but it does alter how we process information.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And it's an inflammatory process. Stress causes inflammation in our system, which is the dysregulation with the parasympathetic nervous system. And, you know, Cheryl, I would actually love, if it's okay, just to talk about, because we can all go sympathetic and we can all get busy. Like, I don't mean sympathetic as in empathic sympathetic, but, you know, that sympathetic nervous system, that drive. But, you know, how we do help to regulate with that parasympathetic nervous system, and this is your point about coming back to children. If children can be helped there, and this speaks, I guess, to neuroplasticity, you know, the fact that we are wiring our brain every single day of our life, and, you know, how we help our children to wire their brain, you know, the neurons that connect together, you know, neurons that wire together, fire together, how we can help with those pathways that are laid down. You're right, you know, being adjusted and helping the pathways, therefore, to be pathways that are supportive of balance and healing rather than of dysfunction can be an incredible gift that we can offer our children. And, you know, then their brains and their bodies are growing in a different way, which then, you know, it's almost like their default is to one of, where they've got I think about it like a wider repertoire from which to draw. They're not just plugged straight back into a trauma response or a dysfunctional response anytime that that stress happens. And, you know, I guess how we help to wire that parasympathetic, you know, with our children is, first of all, as adults, is for us to support them, but to support ourselves first. Because, you know, children are very reactive and look very much to their caregivers for, you know, how safe they are in the world. And therefore, you know, important for us as adults to be supporting our children by supporting our own neurology and looking at how we are plasticizing our own neurology, you know, how are we building our own pathways. And basically it's about, we always are growing new pathways when we take on a new activity or we're taking on a new focus or we're, you know, developing a new skill. And that's an important part of good brain health and healthy aging, or what I call it, you know, healthy growing in wisdom. As we grow in years, growing in wisdom by keeping our brain young and flexible, by taking on new challenges and taking on new ideas, because part of aging is about restriction. And, you know, we think about kids and they're flexible, so we want to keep that flexibility, and getting them adjusted early on helps to wire that brain for that flexibility. But aging is about restriction and about loss of flexibility. And you think about old people that you may know that are restricted in their body or very restricted in their thinking. And Feldenkrais spoke a lot about this, about that brain-body connection very early on in the 20th century. But, you know, just about the more, I think the more flexible we are in our body, the more flexible we are in our mind, and vice versa. So, you know, the aspects of, and I realize I'm introducing lots of ideas because there's so much here to speak about and to share. I think, you know, the bottom line is, I think if takeaways people can have is that our brain, we can wire our brain, and we wire it through what we think about and what we do and how we move our body, and really what we put into our bodies and how well we breathe. You know, the fuel, the body needs, the brain needs good fuel, so good food, good water, good breathing, so lots of good oxygen. So it's that deep breathing, and it's coming back to that aspect of helping to support our parasympathetic nervous system by great oxygenation of our system, and movement. So being active, you know, and kids are great at being active, and our current culture is one of sedentary, here, have a screen. You know, I can be out in, I live on the coast, and, you know, I can be out and there can be families and they could be at the beach and there could be a couple of kids on screens, and it's like, oh, really? And it's that whole thing about, you know, entertainment through screen rather than by movement. So I think, you know, to circle right back to supporting our kids with their brain development, is movement is crucial. You know, that running, jumping, playing, laughing, singing, dancing, clapping, which we can do more of as adults as well, because that helps to wire our parasympathetic nervous system.
I laugh. I love the idea of sitting around in circles and clapping and, you know, having games. But I wanted to, a couple of things. Maybe you can just briefly comment on the importance of crawling in children.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Crawling is an incredible aspect of being able to integrate the left and the right sides of the brain. And the left and the right sides of the brain have different functions in our world. You know, many people are aware, you know, oh, I'm left-brained or I'm more right-brained. Well, that's not true. We can have a left or a right brain dominance, but we need our entire brain pretty much for every activity that we do. Having said that, they do have specific roles. So what crawling does, Cheryl, so when we talked earlier about, you know, a child goes from not moving much, you know, just arms and legs, to, you know, lifting their head, to being able to roll, and then being able to, you know, hop up onto all fours and start to rock and to sit and then to start to crawl. And that crawling is part of the wiring of the across the corpus callosum, which is a fibrous connection between the left and the right hemispheres of our brain. And what that does is wires the left and the right brain, the left and the right hemispheres together. So crawling, that cross-crawl pattern where we're putting one hand forward and the opposite leg, is crucial in that development of that connection. And it leads to better coordination and better actual regulation within our own self, because those two hemispheres are wired. And it's extraordinary how are wired together. And it's extraordinary how many children that I have seen, parents will come in and, you know, they'll say,
they could be, and as I said, chiropractic doesn't treat anything, but parents often come in and report, you know, that they may be having some difficulty with school with, you know, with possibly writing or with, you know, connecting in with other kids or doing a whole range of activities that kids will do. If we actually look at their balance and then those, the connection between the left and the right sides of the brain, often they're not coordinated. And we can help that. And there's also plenty of organisations that work with that integration of what we call cross-cord reflexes between the left and the right sides of the brain and the left and the right sides of the body. And honestly, you know, there's just going back even into that crawling pattern or the marching pattern standing up helps to wire that. So, you know, I think that's the thing to be said. The brain is plastic, meaning that it has the ability to change. So if a child missed that crawling phase, and I will say I was one of those children, Cheryl, and I didn't know that until much later in life, really until I started chiropractic college. I never crawled. I bum shuffled. And whilst I, you know, could do my schoolwork, my coordination, my ball games were terrible. And so I spent quite some time in my later teens and early 20s repatterning that. And my coordination is obviously heaps better, but it, at any age we can rewire our neurology through focused attention and focused exercise. So crawling is an integral and an important part of a child's development, and there can be many reasons why they don't crawl. I have a friend who is probably about 55, and he had five older sisters, and they all said that he didn't ever crawl, and the reason he didn't crawl, and then he, up until about age almost two, the reason he didn't crawl was because he was carried around by his sisters his whole time. So he didn't get floor time. So there's the aspect of actually getting time on the floor, that, you know, for children. But there can also be an imbalance that might have occurred through birth, or perhaps they rolled off the change table or out of the high chair, or, you know, their older sibling gave them a, you know, a too friendly a hug or something that caused some imbalance within the system that then can impact how they can get to crawl. So, yeah, crawling's a really important part of our development.
Now, in the time we have left, I was wondering if you could just share some of the experiences that stand out for you in your practice of working with children, some of the stories that really highlight the importance of chiropractic in children. I'm sure you have many to call upon.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, I, it's interesting you asking that question. I just all of a sudden just flick back through, you know, so many. And, you know, we work here with some very beautiful dentists and lactation consultants, and, you know, sometimes those little bubbers in their early years who, or their early, you know, weeks really, who aren't breastfeeding well. And, you know, in doing the cranial work, so in doing the balancing work, and not only the cranial work, but doing the work through their whole system, and then working in conjunction, you know, with other health professionals as needed to help with, you know, anything that might, you know, any techniques or anything that might need support. But, you know, babies that haven't been breastfeeding or haven't been attaching, you know, there's been many times when they, you know, the mum will walk out to reception and breastfeed a bub and then, you know, report back that, oh my goodness, they're sucking so much better. And, you know, kids, you know, even the emotional aspect of kids, they're far more regulated. So many parents have said, oh my goodness, you know, and you made this point earlier, Cheryl, you know, it's not necessarily for something specific, but sometimes parents go, oh my goodness, they're so off, they're very emotionally volatile, you know, can I bring them in for an adjustment? Because the parent has observed consistently that being adjusted helps the child to be more regulated. And the reason that happens is because the brain is much more online and able then to help the child, or to, you know, to keep a little lid on that limbic system while the, you know, and while the brain is still growing. So, you know, I guess, you know, from coordination, from, you know, helping kids to be able to, you know, be enhanced in their ability to sit still and to learn in class just because they're better regulated within their system. And, you know, I can't make the point strongly enough that, you know, I'm absolutely not saying that chiropractic fixes any of these. It is very much about helping the body, removing any interferences, helping the body to regulate itself, and then also wiring the brain with things like might be exercises, which could be a cross-core exercise. It could be a balance exercise. You know, it could be an eye movement exercise that helps the brain to wire in a way that then supports that child. But, you know, so many across a gamut of things. You know, honestly, you know, there's that saying that people stand in awe of, you know, sunrises and sunsets and extraordinary waterfalls and forget to stand in awe of themselves. And, you know, as a practitioner, there was not a single day in practice, and I'm currently just stepped out of practice to expand my skill set in some other areas and bring this forward in a new way. There has not been a day where I have been humbled by the ability of and the power of the body to make the changes within themselves. You know, absolutely humbled every single day in practice, you know, is almost a miracle. You know, and Einstein said it this way, you know, he said, we can look at life as two ways, nothing's a miracle or everything's a miracle. And truly, seeing the changes and the regulation and the excitement and the joy and people getting reconnected with their own self and, you know, finding that, you know, it's that parasympathetic almost energy of falling into our heart, being connected, which allows us then to connect and to bond not only with ourselves, but to our friends and our family and therefore into our community. You know, and I believe strongly in the more it is that we are adjusted and the more it is that we are well adjusted in ourselves on all levels, allows us then to be able to connect in with others. And life is completely about connection. And so, you know, practice day in, day out, you know, has been an absolute miracle and a joy to observe people's discoveries of themselves and their ability to heal.
That's such a perfect way to bring this conversation to an end, because when you understand how important it is to be adjusted and be a well-adjusted human being in the world, and if you are a well-adjusted human being and part of a community that is well-adjusted, then there's huge potential to create, to heal, to have harmony. So, you know, it's a huge picture, really, when you step out further and look at the possibilities of what happens when human beings are allowed to be in harmony. I just want to say, you know, that little girl that you were that didn't realize that you needed some attention and lacked that coordination, just imagine what would have happened if you had early chiropractic treatment and that was recognized, and it would have opened up that ability in you that you had to wait a couple of decades to get to.
Absolutely, Cheryl. That's absolutely true. And I truly believe that everything happens for a reason. And absolutely, you know, my life possibly would have gone in a different way. And yet this was, you know, I'm grateful for chiropractic having found me, and I'm very grateful and honored to have been able to serve the community through chiropractic care. It's certainly an honor and a great gift. And, you know, for people who are curious, you know, be in contact with your chiros or your healthcare workers. And, you know, Cheryl, you made the point earlier, just finishing, I know, but that it's so important to find somebody that we resonate with, because the more balanced that we are, the more it is we do bring our lightness and our good into the world. And recognizing also that we have all aspects, and it's about you know, being our true and our honest and our whole self in this world.
Yeah, it's so beautiful. It's like allowing life to flow unimpeded through us and express through us. see, I'm so happy. So let's talk about your website, your new projects, your website, which is globalgroove.org, if people want to learn more about Rosemary and her work. So it's just kind of briefly, just in the minute we have left, to share what's your next project now that you've retired from
practice. Thank you. Thank you, Cheryl. Well, you know, thank you. Chiropractic is in me. So it's very much about bringing this understanding of our neurology out into the world in a different way. So I've worked with professionals my entire career, and now I'm interested in working with some people who aren't necessarily only a chiropractor, but looking at, you know, brain fatigue and how that plays out and, you know, what we can do to support ourselves. I'm very interested in, so basically the tagline of Global Groove, so globalgroove.org, which is about to be really relaunched and, you know, because it's been a personal journey for me as well, but looks at brain science, because I'm very interested in neuroscience, heart connection, you know, the research that's going on with the Heart Math Institute and our coherence and our heart energy and, you know, that loving space is so important, and life inspiration. You know, I love a little bit of bringing in a little bit of philosophy and perspective. For me, it's very much about perspective. And so my new project, globalgroove.org, will be updated shortly. The website is there. If you are after any information, please contact me through there, or rose@globalgroove.org. Because I'm interested in bringing this out into the world in a in an expanded way, Cheryl. I feel that's my next journey of my life's work.
Well, very exciting. I'm sure it will be another big development and expansion of your purpose in the world. So, well, I'll be looking forward to seeing how that unfolds for sure. And, you know, I just want to thank you for the sort of your dedication over the years, for the passion you have for your profession and for all those souls that you have helped along the way over the years. It's truly, truly the most gratifying thing, as you have said. So thank you, Rosemary, for being with us. It's just been an absolute delight and pleasure to have you on the show. If you want to connect with Rosemary Keating, go to globalgroove.org and you can find her there. So Rosemary, thank you so much for your time today and for your inspiration. It's been wonderful having you on the show.
Thank you, Cheryl, and thank you for the opportunity and for all that you bring into the world. I'm very grateful. Thanks, Cheryl.
You're so welcome. And to all of my listeners, thanks for joining me for another wonderful conversation on What Women Must Know. I'll be talking to you next week. So until then, may your week be filled with love, peace, and harmony, and always honor the wisdom of the feminine self. Bye for now.